John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. And let's hear God's holy word. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness, your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You pass by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. May the Lord help us to understand the significance of some of those words this morning for his glory. Will you turn with me to that portion of scripture that we read this morning? And particularly my text is found in the 12th verse. "Then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The particular reason why I've chosen this text this morning, and I thought it was appropriate being the first Sunday in Advent, but I was particularly struck by the fact that you may have picked up on the news this week that the Pope visited Turkey. Not that I'm a devotee to the Roman Catholic Church, but it made me think about this, because one of the reasons why he went to Turkey, and he went to a town, he visited a town called Nicaea, right? And at Nicaea, this year is the anniversary of the Nicene Creed. That's 1,700 years ago that Constantine, that was the emperor of Rome, who had come to faith, inverted commas, I could say more than that, he'd come to faith and declared he was a Christian. And the ramifications of that was that it changed the whole complexion of where at one point the Christian faith was outlawed and persecuted. He so changed the situation, it became more acceptable to be a Christian. And he called for a council to take place in Nicaea in Turkey at 1700 years ago. That was in the year 325. It was just after Pentecost, just after Whitsun. And he sent letters to all the bishops within the churches, the Christian churches throughout the eastern half, in North Africa and Europe. They were actually sent letters. The actual Emperor Constantine summoned all the bishops of the empire by letter, inviting them to come to Nicaea. Each bishop was invited with two presbyters and three servants as well. On that occasion, the total number of bishops assembled were 318. Half of all the bishops in the empire were there. And it closed in 25th of July. That was the Council of Nicaea. And the outcome of that council, which took place, was the famous Creed of Nicaea. And the phrase which I mentioned, God of gods, light of light, it comes out of this. I'll just quote it. "We believe in one God, the Father, all sovereign, maker of all things, invisible and visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten of the Father, the only begotten, that is of the same of the substance of the Father, God of God, light of lights, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, things in heaven, things on earth, who for us men and for our salvation came down and was made flesh and became man, suffered and rose the third day and ascended to heaven and is coming to judge the living and the dead. Now that was the Council of Nicaea. They came to that conclusion. Now that didn't, that formulation of words took a long time. There was a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, because there were those in the one half of the church in the southern, in northern Africa, which believed that Jesus was created. But there were those who believed, and a man called a particular brother was named, gone for a moment, Athanasius was a deacon in the church from Africa, and he argued that Jesus Christ was not created. The Bible's teaching is very clearly that he was with the Father right from the beginning of time. And the outcome of his stance, well, he had to suffer for it. He was a deacon at the time in 325, but for 50 years that battle went on until he died in 367. But eventually the church, Christian faith, came to that conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, eternally light of lights, as we've put there, the one who is God of God's light of light, of one substance of the Father, from that means of the inmost being of the Father, inseparably one with the Father. Now, I just bring this out here. Is this scriptural? Well, I would say yes, it is. And this text, what I'm thinking of now, emphasizes it. So there's not more I can say about the Nicene Creed, but I think it's just good to introduce it because it was mentioned on the news, Sky Television, Pope's moving wherever he's moving on, but he went there to commemorate this Nicene Creed and is one of the founding doctrines which was established 1700 years ago. Now, let's see, what does the Lord Jesus Christ, is it true? Yes, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, the context of these words, our Lord had been in the temple, been tempted by the religious leaders who had brought an adulterous woman to him and wanted to know what they should do with her. Our Lord tells his accusers that he that is without sin, go cast the first stone. You remember the story, I'm sure. And there was nobody there. And so our Lord says, he tells the woman, has no one cast this first stone? Has nobody condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then our Lord goes on to make a very unique statement. Now, I think it's very interesting, although it's a debate on this question of the text, but I'll put that aside for the moment. Our Lord then goes on to make this wonderful statement. And in the text it says, the text is, palein, again, once more, therefore. This phrase links with the preceding verse. Jesus declares, after declaring to the woman, go and sin no more, our Lord goes on to declare that he would be able to do this, would remove sin, and he would be able to remove the moral darkness that engulfs men and women's lives. And he makes this tremendous statement which declares the uniqueness of the Son of God. What does he say? I am the light of the world. He uses a phrase, I am. In the Greek, it's ego, I, me. Okay? It's an emphasis, I am. It's a statement which is affirming deity. Seven times Jesus uses that phrase, I, ego, I, me. And the This is the second time it's used by our Lord. The first time was in John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And the actual words, ego eimi, he's really could translate, I alone, I and no other am God. It's one of the affirmations of deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The use of the pronouns in this way was used. How do we know this? Well, because the use of the pronouns in the Old Testament particularly expressed something that God alone identified as himself. God was declaring that. When he, in the book of Exodus, Exodus 3, we find that when Moses was told by the Lord to go into Egypt and to tell the children of Israel to tell Pharaoh to let the people go, he asked the question, how do I know, who will believe me? How do I know that you sent me? How will the people know that I sent you? And God said to him, I am who I am. That is what to say to them. I am has sent you. So those terms there, those Hebrew words which God gave to Moses long ago, speaks of the uniqueness of God. He's the I am. He's the no other God except God Jehovah. And that phrase there is there identified. And so here Jesus deliberately chooses this form of expression. The I am expresses to us that Jesus is no ordinary man, but he is one with the Father, that he is divine. So those seven statements, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the vine, those statements remind us all the time, I am. Who is the I am? It's the Jesus claiming deity for himself. And more than that, I want us to understand that the reference there, I am what? The light of the world. Now just think about this. My subject this morning is to think about the characteristics of light. Just to think about it, Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world. We must understand this statement of Jesus being the light of the world. Remember the context. It's always important to think about the context, where it's set. The historical context was the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles was coming to an end. It was the time of the end of the harvest period of the year, harvest time of the year. And it was coming to an end, or it may have been at an end. And no doubt Jesus was in the court of the women. Now, I make these points because I believe there's a connection with the previous verses before. Jesus must have been when the woman was brought to him. And in the temple, there was there a very large candelabra, which with four vessels of oil feeding the lights in those days. And there was a very elaborate ceremony of lighting these lights. Young priests, one of the old priests, would climb up to the top of the lamps and light the lights. And they would climb ladders. They would light the wicks, and they would be lit up to bring light to the whole of the temple. Now it is recorded. Such was the nature of the light. It was so bright. Josephus, that's the historian, biblical, he's not a Christian, but he is a Jewish historian, would actually record it that the light which came from this temple was so great that it shone over Jerusalem. It was a historical fact. And so when Jesus says this here, he's taking the context here. They just lit the lamps, and he could say, I am the light of the world. And of course, it's the reason why it was lit at that time. It reminded the Israelites of how God had led the children of Israel from Egypt, How did he lead them from Egypt? Well, he remember he led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Christ, the Lord, led them. And so that's the background to the content of the passage of Scripture and to the statement here. The time of the Feast of Tabernacle reminding God, Israel, of how God had led the children of Israel. And the context is there. I am the light, not just of Israel, but of the world. Praise God for that. Praise God that God has revealed himself as the light of the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, my purpose this morning is to consider the description of light, the characteristic of light. Now, when we think about in declaring that Jesus is the light of the world, he was making the most astounding claim for himself. It's no wonder the Pharisees challenged him, isn't it? If you've got your Bible, you see here the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Who are you to say you're the light of the world? It's like me saying, coming along, I am the light of the world. You think, big-headed he is. Right? No. They challenged him. And of course, then Jesus goes on to say that he said, I know where I'm coming from. I know where I'm going. I have a unique Father. You judge by human standards. I do not judge. My decisions are right. I am not alone. I stand with the Father. So here Jesus draws on that unique relationship that he had with the Father. And this remarkable statement. Now, many of the rabbis of that day knew that the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would come and light would come through him and by him. And indeed, it's important to recognize that when we think of light, the character of light, the Old Testament speaks of God as being pure light. I'll give you some of the references. The Lord is, I started off, Psalm 27, the Lord, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation. The identification of God as being light and being salvation. The Old Testament, the New Testament speaks about the Lord God dwelling in light, unapproachable. And the one in whom 1 Timothy speaks about, the one in whom dwelleth who alone dwelleth in immortality, who dwelleth in light, unapproachable. And so here's Jesus taking those qualities, taking those characteristics which were only spoken of to be attributed to God the Father, and he says, I am the light of the world. And so it was a staggering statement to make. And I want us to think of the nature of light. Now, there are four things I want to think about the nature of light. First of all, light is transparent, light is pure, and light is constant, and this light is universal. Let me quickly go through them. The nature of light. What's the nature of light? Here we are. It's daylight. You can see me. I hope you can. You've got an eyesight problem at the moment, right? I can see you. Light is transparent. We see through it. We see through it. And the nature of light, what does it do? It reveals. Now, if it was total darkness and there was no moon and we were shut in the dark, we wouldn't see one another, would we? Right. Light reveals. You know what he said, like you go to your bed, you put your light out, you've got no, you can hardly see anything. Total darkness, can't see it. But when you put the light on, it reveals what's there. And so when we think about light, Jesus declaring himself as light. And it is therefore a fit light is a fit emblem of knowledge. Just as darkness is the emblem of ignorance and error, So light is an emblem and a sign of knowledge. And Jesus is declaring he is light. Jesus is, just as God is all-knowing and has supreme and infinite intelligence, so Jesus, the Son of God, he is light, who sees all things, who knows everything that the Father, that Jesus sees. He knows all things. He sees our hearts. All things are naked and bare before him. We have to do. Nothing can be hid. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He is the one in whom God shows. He is the one who is light, who gives, shows us our what's around us, but he shows us what we're like in our hearts. And that's the important thing to remember. The other, one of the other great I ams is I am the way. Remember what it was? I am the way, the truth. And so when we think about light, we're thinking of truth. We're thinking about the way in which is pure, the one certain way which reveals the light, reveals to us the way to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives light and knowledge, and the knowledge of God. How can we know God? How can we, how can we who are sinful and fallen know anything about God? Well, it's only by God taking the initiative, coming to us and revealing himself to us and the way of salvation to us. And this he's done in Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So that's the first thing. Christ, Jesus said, light, I'm the light. Light is transparent. It reveals. It's the emblem of knowledge. Let me ask you the question. Do you know something of Jesus being light? Is Jesus light to you? Has he shown you the truth of the gospel? That there is no other way of salvation except through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Vital to grasp. And how do we grasp that? Well, it's by looking to God's word. There's a verse in the Bible, in your light do we see light. Psalm 36. In the light of Scripture will we see the light of the world. So if things are a little bit fuzzy and murky to you, and maybe things, some things I'm saying this morning may seem a little bit strange, turn again to the Bible. Read these passages of Scripture. And you will see time and time again, the Bible is one book made up of 66 books, but it's one message, and it's the message of salvation, that God has come into the world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to save sinners like you and I. So that's the first thing. Light is transparent. Secondly, light is pure. It can't be defiled. Have you ever tried to make light dirty? Have you? Ladies, you do the cleaning. Maybe a bit of a sexist comment there. Maybe we men ought to do a bit more cleaning. I know my wife gets on to me sometimes and says, there's the duster there. You can clean the dining room, whatever the case is. We've got to pull our weight, haven't we? But have you ever tried to make the light dirty? You can't do that, can you? Light is pure. So light is a fit emblem for the holiness of God. Darkness cannot exist where light comes. That's true, isn't it? Can darkness exist here? No, because the sun is shining in. Light is shining. And so when we think about God, and his, we know the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. What's it speaking of? It's speaking of the holiness of God. There's a passage in the Scriptures in the Old Testament where Isaiah was called by God to be the Lord's servant, and he has this remarkable vision. What is the vision? Well, he sees angels flying before, taken into heaven. It's an interesting passage in Isaiah 6. It's the year that Uzziah died. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. That's a lesson for us. Kings pass, queens go, but God's on the throne. Do you believe that? He's on the throne. And what does Isaiah see? Well, he sees angels flying before the Lord, seraphims with two wings, they cover their faces, two they cover their feet, with two they were flying. And then what were they calling? Crying out to one to another. What did they cry out? You should know it. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, when we speak about holiness, we speak about purity. We speak about complete purity of thought, of mind, of word, and of deed. The Bible speaks of holiness. God stands opposed to evil, just as light does to darkness. Darkness cannot exist in the light, so sin cannot be tolerated in God's presence. Do we believe that? What fellowship has light with darkness? Light is pure. As a hymn, eternal light, how pure the soul must be. When placed before thy searching sight, it shrinks not but with calm delight can live and look on thee. In other words, who can ever approach God? If he's so pure, he's so holy, that angels, as it were, failed, covered themselves because they were angelic beings. They were ever crying and worshipped a God. They dare not approach God. What about you and I? Can we dare approach God in our own dirty rags? In our own impurity? No, we can't. But thanks be to God, this is why Jesus came. He came so that sinners like Gwyn Evans, and you put your own name there, can be taken to be meet, to be in fellowship with God, that I can know not only fellowship with God now, but in for eternity. How? Well, the hymn goes on to say, there is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, the Holy Spirit's energies, and advocate with God. In other words, that hymnist is summarizing the Christian gospel. He's saying, God has provided a way through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He comes, he who is the light of the world. He came, he lived a sinless life. He lived a pure life in thought, word, and deed. No one was ever like Jesus. And he went to the cross of Calvary. Why? So that he might take my punishment, my guilt, that he might, as it were, be able to remove my guilt. He took our sin and our guilt and our punishment in his place. The Apostle Peter put like this. He said, Christ once has suffered. Don't need to be repeated. You don't need masses said. You don't need to have communion, as it were, or you can't atone for your sins. I can't atone for my sins. Christ Jesus died once for sin. The just one, the pure one, for the impure. Why? So that he might bring you to God. Have you experienced that in your life? Have you? One of the tests, you know, of whether you're a Christian is, have you really contemplated and become aware of the holiness of God? He's pure. The holiness of Jesus. Because we're so impure, and men and women really think nothing of it. But a man or a woman who's come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has grasped this truth, that God is holy, and I am a sinner. And I need to be, if I'm going to be with God in heaven one day, there needs to be a transformation take place in my life. Has that happened to you? Have you grasped that? So light is pure. Move on quickly. But light is constant. Put it like, there is no relation, how amazing it is, that he who is light has come and rubbed shoulders with mankind, which is in darkness. What pain and agony of soul Jesus must have experienced, being in the dark world of sin. In the light of the fact he is the light of the world. There's no relationship with God. Nothing done for us can bring us into this relationship with God unless God works and changes us from being children of darkness to being children of the light. Has that happened to you? But thirdly, light is constant. Light is not disturbed by storms. Clouds may hide their face, but light is there. Just think of the universe. We know we have night and day, right? We've been able to hear we're in the night, we're in the daytime now. But we don't know South Africa will be in the darkness, right? There'll be parts of the world which will be in the darkness, or the other, just trying to get the geography right here. There will be parts of the world which will still be in darkness, in the west of America, etc., they'll be still dark. But at the end of the day, light's there. The sun still shines. The earth is moving around the sun. Light is not disturbed by all the storms and clouds that arise. And that's the other point. Light, then, is an emblem of harmony and blessedness. Nothing in God is inconsistent. There is no conflicts, but perfect blessedness is to be found in him. And the light of God is constant. It's calming. It can so affect all of us. Just as light is the source of all beauty, and without light we could not see anything, so God in the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all blessedness. Think about that statement. The source of all happiness, of all blessedness, is found in Jesus Christ. Because he's the light of the world. Have you discovered that? Remember some of the pop songs, I can't get no satisfaction, right? But blessed be God, there is satisfaction found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Have you discovered that life in Jesus Christ? We don't have to wait for eternity. We can experience that life now. And we can know Jesus as our Savior now. And we can know him who is the light of the world, taking us from our darkness and turning us to the light and enabling us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Has that happened to you? If not, I would urge you to not leave this place till you ask the Lord to show you your sin and to show you your Savior. The light is shining on your heart today. I am the light of the world. And finally, light is universal. I am the light. So we thought about light is transparent, light is pure, light is constant. Thank God for that. Here we are, 21st century. Christ is still the light of the world. He was the light of the world in the time of 325. When it was darkness, when there was great persecution to the church, Christ is the light of the world. Throughout all the centuries, he's constant. He changes not Thank God for that. But he's the light of the world. Just as light lightens the universe, so Christ Jesus lightens the hearts of men and women throughout the world. The gospel is not just for Jews, because here's the context. Jesus is saying these words to Jews, Israelites. But blessed be God, this word reminds us, the world. But Christ came not into the world. Remember, God so loved the world. Let the truth of that impact our souls. That the gospel is not to be hid under a bushel, but it's to be made known to men and women, boys and girls here in Rochford, in London. What darkness pervades our society. We need to be praying as a church. I hope you are praying that as a church, that the light of the gospel might shine out from this place, not only now over this Christmas period, but in the coming year, that men and women might see Jesus as the light of the world. Text doesn't stop there, does it? I am the light of the world. He who follows me. It's not enough to say, oh yes, I believe Jesus is light. I believe he's transparent. I believe he's pure. I believe he's constant. But you need to follow him. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, by inference then, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're walking in the darkness. What's the darkness? It's the darkness of sin, of selfishness. How do we change? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of lights. How can we change our ways? Well, the gospel, Jesus said, Mark 1 verse 15, the kingdom of God is come. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the call that Jesus gave. Repent. What's repentance? It means turning from our sin, turning from the darkness, turning to the light, and believing that Jesus is my Savior and my God, and confessing our sins. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? We don't like to think about our sins, but we've all sinned, haven't we? Sin today. Wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong deeds. We need to confess our sins in thought, word, and deed, and turn to believe, repent and believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, who is the light of lights, the only Savior of men and women. He is the only one who can change your darkness and bring you into light. Other religions seek to change the outside, but Christ Jesus changes from the inside out. You got the picture? Blessed be God. Jesus said, what did he say? I am, let's say it all together. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, may it be that each one of us embraces Christ as our light and our salvation, not only today, but for all time and eternity. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for showing us that Jesus is the light of the world. Help us, Lord, to be followers of you all the days of our life. Thank you that we're not walking in darkness, but we have your light, and in your light, do we see light? Oh Lord, bless your people here. Encourage them, keep them. Look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And for any who may be finding some of these things strange, Lord, work in their lives. Open their eyes to see something of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through faith alone in him. Now may the God who is blessed forever, the only ruler, King of kings, Lord of lords, the one who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see,
To him be glory and honor and might forever and ever. Amen.